Revelation chapter 22, and we come this evening to the concluding message in our series, Living in the Light of Eternity. We'd ask you please, if you can, stand with me as we seek the Lord in a word of prayer, just to change your position before we come to the preaching of His Word. Eternal God and our Father, we look to Thee just now again for Thy help. Lord, we realize tonight how helpless we are. Realize, O God, that tonight we cannot handle the Word of God aright. Lord, this is beyond us. And therefore, O God, we cry for the help of heaven. Lord, speak to our hearts tonight. Lord, as we would consider this concluding message in this series, as we would consider these concluding words, Lord, I pray that tonight this will not just be another sermon. Lord, this will not just be another message. But Lord, that truly this will be the Word of God to all of our hearts. Lord, most especially tonight, may it be a word to those who are out of Christ. Lord, that this night, may all gathered in this meeting tonight, may all make that preparation for the day of Christ's return. Heavenly Father, we pray. Speak, O God, we ask. Lord, we pray for the stillness of heaven. We ask, O God, that tonight You'll speak very, very clearly and very definitely. Lord, that this night all will do business with Thee. Answer prayer. Give us help in the preaching. Give us help in the hearing. In the Savior's name we pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you. As you will no doubt be aware, I love music. I love listening to music and the odd time playing music as well. But there's one thing in my love for music that I have never done and probably will never do, and that is compose a piece of music. Actually, when I was preparing this, I thought I hadn't composed a piece of music, but then as I thought throughout this afternoon, I actually had many years ago. And I think somewhere at home in Mum and Dad's, there's still a manuscript book with dots here and there with my masterpiece, but that is where it will stay. But if I were to compose a piece of music, I would try to emulate a piece of music where it starts off quietly and perhaps moves into a different key, and perhaps moves into a minor key. But starting off quietly and then building up to a final crescendo. Because such a type of music, I believe, has the way of captivating the listener. Because they want to listen as to how it will all end up. Take you on a journey, take you on a pathway, and keep you captivated to stay there, wondering and expecting how will this finish. Of course, such a style is used in many other formats, not just music, and in TV and film production. Always seeking to keep the hearer, the listener, the reader, the viewer, whatever, captivated so that they don't lose interest throughout the whole passage of the music or the film or whatever, wanting to know how is all of this going to end up? How is it all going to finish? And so the whole idea is then to close on a high. The Bible has such a format because from the opening words of Scripture from the days of creation through to the days of contamination by sin, there is a rising and an increasing tone in the book of God. Through the various stages of the Word of God, which is often referred to as the seven seas, and our young people will know that last year, the end of last year in our youth fellowship, we looked at those seven seas of history from creation through to the corruption, through because of sin, then the catastrophe, And then all the confusion that there was at the Tower of Babel. And then the coming of Christ, the cross of Christ, and ultimately, all culminating in the consummation of time when Christ comes again. Christ's coming again. Because you see, folks, all of history tonight is step by step, moment by moment, day by day, moving towards that one final and defining moment, Christ's coming again. We are not moving forward to some one world order. We are not moving forward to some new church order. We are not moving forward ultimately to the overthrow of Rome and all the false systems of religion and the revelation of the Antichrist and the man of sin. Ultimately, this world, day by day, moment by moment, we are all progressing to that moment that is yet future when Christ comes again. Because that is the culminating moment in the history of this world. And the Scriptures are a symphony of music, therefore. And all the various themes with all the various tones and all the various times, they will all culminate in that great burst of music when the trumpets will sound and Christ shall come again. Throughout this series, when we started it way back during the months of lockdown, back in the month of May, and continue it then during our time back in church, it has been my desire, my aim, my prayer that through this series and the closing chapters of Revelation, that we would seek to live constantly in the light of eternity, in the light of Christ's return. And my reason, as I stated way back in May when we started this series, the reason to embark in such a study was that there was so much fear and uncertainty and unfamiliarity with the circumstances that we find ourselves in. The people, I felt, were losing sight, especially the Church of Jesus Christ. We were losing sight of that great moment of Christ's return. On certain days, where and are giving rise to much uncertainty in people's lives. But you see, one thing tonight is sure. One thing tonight is certain. One thing you can hold on to tonight. One thing is guaranteed. And it's this. Christ is coming again. And with that truth, how we need to realize we are not here forever. This world will pass away. We saw that. And the old creation will give rise to the new creation, the new earth and the new heaven. One day, that day, when Christ comes again. And you see, as we finish this series tonight, we do so on a high. Now, I trust that as we've looked at the various themes over the past number of months, the various words from Scripture, the insight even into heaven itself, all that we will do in heaven, I trust it has been an encouragement and a motivation for the people of God. I trust as well it has been a conviction to those that are lost. That as we've traveled through the streets of the New Jerusalem, and as we've seen the beauty and the splendor of that place, and as we've seen the way to that place, that you would have realized that as you are right now, still in your sin, you will never be there. You will never be in heaven. And what a wonderful way it would be to conclude this series tonight, if every single one gathered in this meeting tonight were to be prepared and to be ready. But tonight, as we conclude the series, May we, like never before, see like never before the greatest motivation and stimulation to live in the light of eternity is because of this great truth: Christ is coming again. Whatever else you may be unsure of, whatever doubts and whatever fears may lie ahead for you, here's one thing that's sure: Christ is coming. As we consider this subject tonight and these final verses of Scripture, I want to leave with you some, I trust, very simple things from the Word of God, but also some matters that I trust will challenge all of our hearts as we live for one more time in the light of eternity. I want you to see, first of all, with me then, the revelation of His coming. The revelation of Christ's coming. On three different occasions, the Holy Spirit reveals to us Christ is coming again. Verse 7, "Behold, I come quickly." Then verse 12, "And behold, I come quickly." And then verse 20, "Surely I come quickly." How significant, how important that right at the very end of Scripture, right at the very conclusion of the Word of God, we are brought to this final revelation, this great truth. And the Holy Spirit reminds this world and reminds His people, "I am coming again." Christ spoke of His coming again even before He returned back to heaven. You remember how He spoke to His disciples and they were questioning and they were asking? And there in John 14, and He gave them that great assurance that He was going to prepare mansions in the sky. He says, "I go and prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also." I will come again. When Christ went back to heaven and the disciples, they were despondent and they were gazing up into the skies. And they saw the one that they loved. They saw the one that they had served with on earth. And they saw Him taken back into glory. And their hearts were saddened. And they were watching and wondering, what's going to happen now? And the angel turned to them and came to them with a wonderful assurance and a wonderful promise: "This same Jesus. This same Jesus, which is taken up from you from heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen Him go from heaven." Here's the wonderful truth tonight, men and women. This same Jesus, that same one who left heaven to come to this earth to die on a cross, who had His hands pierced, His head bruised, His body battered, He has returned to heaven, but He is returning again. That's the revelation of His coming. It's interesting, in these verses in Revelation 22, how the Lord actually puts His coming. Because in the original, in the Greek language, in those words there, that use of the term the verb there in 7, verse 7 and 12 and verse 20, it doesn't just mean "I will come," but it's actually speaking in the present tense, which means "I am coming." Tonight, the glorious reality tonight is that Christ is on His way. He is coming tonight. And He says to His people, "I'm on my way, I am coming." And I know that many scoff at his coming. Many will say, oh, he's been saying that for long enough. Where's the promise of his coming, as they say? He's promised he's coming, he hasn't come yet. So just get over it, don't worry about it. He's not coming. Well, I suppose it all depends on the worldview that you take and how you view circumstances and events in this world. But you know, whenever someone says to you, maybe a relative, they say to you, well, and they're living far away, and they say, well, I'm coming to see you again. And I'm making plans to come and see you. Now, they just don't come instantly. It's not possible for them to come yet. There's preparation that needs to be done. But then when all those preparations are done, they come. Christ is coming again. But there are things that must take place before his coming. And here is the greatest thing. And I know some people get very caught up with all their eschatological views. I can hardly say the word. And their end time views. And this must happen. And that must happen. And the temple. And also, and there are charts here. And there are charts there. And there are diagrams everywhere. And they're as confused as I am. But here's one thing that must happen. Here's one thing that will happen. All the saved of Christ will be gathered in before Christ comes. All those that Christ has died from every nation and tribe and tongue, will be gathered in, and there won't be one of them lost. Christ is coming again. But here's the wonderful thought for the Church of Jesus Christ tonight. Christ hasn't come because all the saved are not gathered in. What does that say to us? We need to continue to reach. We need to continue to preach the gospel. We need to continue to urge men and women to Christ. We need to continue on the program of evangelism, because there are still those out in the world that need to be won for Christ. He may not have come yet, but come he will. And the truth is that tonight we are nearer that day than we have ever been. We are nearer the day of Christ's coming than we were this time last week. Child of God tonight, we're nearer glory than we were this time last week. But here, sinner, you're nearer hell than you were this time last week. Christ will come again. Not because I say so, but because he says so. Remember, this book is not the imaginations or the inventions of John. These are the revelations of God, the Holy Spirit, through John. Verse number 6 says, these sayings are faithful and true. You see, God's word is the final authority in all matters in the church, but also in all matters in this world. Now, I know the modern, postmodern society devalues and denies the Word of God, places no emphasis, no importance on the Word of God. But you know, tonight you can deny the Scriptures of truth all you want. You can deny the fact that Christ is coming again all you want. But it doesn't take away from the fact Christ is coming. I can deny a fact all I want. I can ignore a fact all I want. But it doesn't take that fact away. It doesn't take that reality away. Christ is coming again, whether you believe it or not. question then is, are you ready? Are you ready? Christ were to come tonight, would you be ready? There is the revelation of His coming. But I want you to see there's also the preparation for His coming. This leads on from what we've been saying. Christ is coming, but are you prepared? The greatest preparation you could make tonight for the coming again of Christ is by repenting of your sin, turning to Christ. That's the most important matter in your life. That's the most important thing tonight. Because I tell you this, nothing else at the end of time will matter. It doesn't matter about your job prospects. It doesn't matter about your home situation. It matters what you have done with Christ. Are you ready tonight? If Christ were to come again, are you ready? Be ye also ready. For in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh. If Christ were to come tonight, how would He find you? Christ were to return this evening, would you be ready? There's the preparation for those that are still without Christ. But there's also the preparation for the people of Christ, for the church, the people of God. Because in the light of Christ's returning, there are certain things that the Lord lays out for us here in this chapter. Certain things that we must do. In verse number 8, there's the preparation, there's a call to worship. Verse 8 says, I, John, saw these things and heard them, and when I heard and seen, I fell down to worship. The church must be worshiping. That's how John responded to this. Now, you read on down in verse number 8, you'll see that he worshipped before the feet of the angel. His worship was misdirected. His worship was misguided. He should have been worshipping the Lord. In fact, we see that at the end of verse number 9, the angel says to him, at the end of verse 9, worship God. But in the light of Christ's returning, John realized he must worship. Until that day Christ comes, he must worship God. Because as we said in a past study, our worship of God here on earth is a little microcosm of what our worship of God will be in heaven. So much that passes for worship today, it's misdirected, it's misguided, it's self-gratifying. It's man-centered. It's about something giving you a feel-good factor or something giving you a lift. That's not worship. That's idolatry. We need to worship God, worship Him in the beauty of holiness. I wonder tonight, as we have looked at these matters over these past number of weeks and months now, have they affected your life in any way? Child of God, as these times around the Word of God, have they changed your outlook? As we come to this reality again tonight of Christ's coming, realize that until that day Christ comes, we must be worshiping Him. Is the Word of God made any change? These studies, living in the light of eternity, have they actually made any change in your heart and life? Do we love Christ more? Do we want to worship Him more? Worship is to be central in our expectation and our longing for glory. And public worship at that. You know that verse in Hebrews 10, the verse 25, where it says, "Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is." Do you know how that verse ends? Where it's an exhortation to public worship. It says, "And so much the more as ye see the day approaching." So the instruction is, do not forsake the assembling of yourselves together. Do not forsake the public worship of God. But even more so, as we get nearer the day of Christ's return, the people of God must now more than ever be a people of worship and gather publicly for worship. This book of Revelation, it's not given to us that we might discuss and debate and try to win arguments with somebody else. Ultimately, it's not about us trying to understand all the mysteries. Rather, I believe it's a greater challenge and encouragement and motivation for us to a greater life of service and worship. That we might see that He is all important. There's a call to worship. But also in verse 10, there's a call to witness. "And he saith unto me, Seal not the sayings of the prophecy of this book, for the time is at hand." Seal not the sayings of this prophecy. Look at verse 10. What's the Lord calling the church to do? Tell the world that Christ is coming. Christ is coming, but don't seal that message. Speak that message. Proclaim, tell others, Christ is coming. That's what the church needs to do. Till that day Christ comes. That's what we still need to do. Tell the lost of Christ. Point them to the Savior. Child of God tonight, don't seal the prophecies of the saying of this book. But tell and speak. Tell a world that's lost, Christ is coming again and you need to be ready. Because when Christ does come, there'll be no second chance. And the day of grace will be over. And we need to work and labor while it is day, because the night will come when no man can work. Work while it is day. Work before the Lord comes. Labor and strive to do what we can to tell the lost Christ is coming. You need to be ready. Because in verse 11, there is a fearful fate. In that day that Christ comes, the eternal destiny of all souls will be defined. Look at verse 11. "He that is unjust, let him be unjust still. And he that is filthy, let him be filthy still." In other words, that day when Christ comes, those who are found out of Christ will be sealed to their eternal destiny in hell without Christ. Did you hear that, Christian? The day that Christ comes, the lost will be sealed into their eternal destiny, to a lost eternity without Christ. Is it any wonder then that in the previous verse the Lord instructs the church, don't seal the prophecy, tell people. Then at the end of verse 11 it says, he that is righteous, let him that is righteous still, and he that is holy, let him be holy still. And those that are saved on that day will be sealed and secure in heaven. Blessed verse 14, are they that do his commandments, that they may have the right to the tree of life and may enter in through the gates into the city. This world thinks tonight that they have a right to go to heaven. The ungodly tonight think they can scoff and mock and deride Christ all their life and then somehow have a right to enter into heaven. The only right they have is on the right of the finished work of Jesus Christ, that do his commandments, that live by his word, that fulfill all the commandments. And how can we fulfill the commandments of God? How can we fulfill the law of God? It's only in Christ. But you see, all those who reject Christ, they have no right to heaven. There's worship, there's work. Verse 18 and 19, there's also a warning in this preparation. To the church, he says, for I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book, if any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city and from the things which are written in this book. There's a warning to the church tonight. Don't tamper with my word. It's a serious thing to tamper and alter with the word of God. It's a serious thing to alter the message of the word of God. And many tonight profess and Christianity, that's exactly what they are doing, trying to alter the message to make it acceptable. And parts of the scripture they're ashamed of, they're embarrassed about, and they don't want to tell people about the gospel records of the cross work of Christ. And they don't want to preach tonight about the blood. And they don't want to tell tonight about a God of wrath and a God of judgment. And they're altering the book of God. Rome is adding to the word of God. But the modernist and the liberal is taking away from the work of God, word of God. And I tell you, there's a serious charge laid against them. Many will pay a heavy price. I love the King James Version of the Scriptures. And I make no apology for saying that. Because there are many, many other versions which are exactly doing what verse 18 and 19 warns against. Denying the deity of Christ. See any Bible that denies the deity of Christ? It's not worth the paper it's written on. Because it's not the word of God. Because as we have pointed out in the past, if Christ is not God, then Christ is not our Savior. Any version that takes away from the blood and removes references to the blood and trying to water down or dilute, it's not worth it. I fully understand that by no means the King James, the Authorized Version, is a perfect translation. There isn't a perfect translation. But I'm glad that the translators of this book, as they set out to translate it, they did so with the highest view of Christ. They did so with the highest view of the work of Christ. There's a warning given to the Church of Christ. Don't alter my book. There's a warning given to those who preach. Don't change the message. Don't alter the message. Don't try to water down the warnings from the lips of Christ in order to make your message more palatable, to try to fill your churches. Be faithful. Preach the word. Be instant in season and out of season. There's the preparation for his coming. There's also the jubilation at his coming. In those verses that we read, in verse 7 and 12 and verse 20, the Lord says, "Behold, I come quickly." We're not waiting to see the angels that will accompany Christ at his coming. We're not waiting to see the skies roll back at his coming. We're not waiting to see the dead in Christ rise from the dead. We're waiting to see him. Christ is coming again. The one who is the eternal Christ. Verse 13, the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Verse 16, the one who is the reigning Christ, the root and the offspring of David and the bright and the morning star, the greater than David, the great king and sole head of his church. We're willing to see him. This book calls us to anticipate, to look forward to Christ's coming. How that we need to store up treasure that lasts. How we need, in the light of Christ's return, that we need to live for that which is timeless. How we need to live for that which is spiritual rather than that which is temporal. How that we need to live for that which we cannot see rather than those things that we can see. This world tonight is taken up with all that this world will offer. This world tonight is trying and focusing and fixing all of their attention on the things of this world that one day will pass away. Oh, how we need to keep our eyes on him. Because when we see him, it will be worth it all. What jubilation it will bring to our hearts when we see Christ. And all shall see Christ. Everyone in this meeting tonight, you will see Christ. Everyone, young and old, you'll stand before Christ. And everyone, myself included, will give an account before Christ. For those that are saved, be a wonderful thing to look in the eyes of our Savior. And to know that we stand redeemed in him, complete in him, and to hear those words, "Enter thou into thy rest." But what an awful thing for those that are lost to stand and face Christ and hear the awful judgment pronounced depart. That won't be a day of jubilation for you. That will be a day beyond any imaginable horrors. Finally, as we close tonight, it's not only the revelation, the preparation, and the jubilation, but there is the invitation of His coming. The concluding verses of the Word of God are words of invitation. Verse 17. That invitation is repeated three times, summed up in one word: come. Come. Do you know that's one of the greatest gospel words? Come. Many religions tonight will tell you, go away, try to do a little better, live a little better, try to do good to your neighbor, try the best you can. Tonight, the invitation of the gospel is simply come. Come the way you are. Come to Christ in all of your sin. Come and receive Him tonight. What words to close the book of God with? It's a welcome invitation. Verse 17, the Spirit and the bride or the church says, come. It's a warning invitation. How many times have you heard this call before? How many times have you heard that you need to be saved? But how tragic it would be to hear that invitation for one last time and never respond to it. This is God's final invitation. God's final word. But thank God tonight it's a wide invitation. Look at verse 17. And whosoever will. There's a wideness in the mercy of God tonight. For the whosoever will that cometh, come tonight with all of your sin. No matter how often you've rejected Him, how often you've turned your back on Him, just come to Christ. Come to Jesus. An old scoffer of George Whitefield, that great evangelist, used to always make fun of George Whitefield and say, when that boy has nothing else to say and nothing else to preach on, all he'll say is, come to Jesus. If this preacher has got nothing else to preach about or nothing else to say but come to Jesus, it'll be a message worth hearing. Come to Christ tonight, sinner tonight, leave your sin. In God's name, I plead with you earnestly. Leave your sin before it is forever too late. Because in verse 20 he says, surely I come quickly. What an awful thing it would be that on that day when Christ comes, you would be excluded. Because you didn't come to Christ. As this study finishes, and as this book closes, how will you respond? Will you come tonight to Christ with all of your sin? Will you come and be saved? Grace of the Lord Jesus Christ is extended there in verse 21, that grace that is seen in Christ. Will you come? Will you lay hold of that promise of the gospel? Him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. Come tonight the way you are. child of God, today as we finish this study. I trust there will have been a change in our outlook and our perspective, in our walk with God and our living for God, that it's always done in the light of His returning. One day the things of this world will pass away. Let's labor not for the meat which perisheth, but let's do what we can to seek to bring others to Christ. As I close tonight, what is God's final word to you? It's come. Before He comes, this is His final word. Come. Come now, come immediately, because when Christ comes, it'll be forever too late. And whoever you are, wherever you are, come to Christ. Let's bow in prayer. I wonder tonight, will you come? Or will you go away? I wonder tonight, as the invitation from the lips of the Savior for one last time is extended to come, I wonder how you'll respond. Will you come tonight? Don't leave this any longer. Don't put it off anymore. Young person, older person, come tonight to Christ. Come and be saved. It's the most important thing. Because when you stand before Him, that's the only thing that matters, what you've done with Christ. You want to speak with me? Then I... only too happy to do that. Take time. But even in the very seat where you are, you can call on to the Lord, save me. Repent of your sin. Acknowledge your sin. Turn from your sin. Pray that the Lord would come into your heart and He will come. He will save you. He'll not turn you away. Will you come? Will you come now? Tonight, don't go away still in your sin. Eternal God and our Father, we thank Thee for this time around the Word of God. But, O God, we pray that tonight You'll speak. And, Lord, that this night, in a very particular way, that hearts and lives will be dealt with. Lord, You know each heart tonight. You know those that are Thine. You know those, Lord, that are still far from Thee. Lord, we pray that tonight all might be saved, and that tonight all will make that preparation for the day of Christ's coming again. Help us, Lord, as the people of God and the Church of Christ, to live our lives every day in the light of Christ's return. Oh God, we thank Thee tonight for that wonderful truth. Christ is coming again. Bless Thy word to our hearts. In the Savior's name we pray. Amen. Amen. We're going